Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Unstoppable Love with Lauren and Zosia. Happy Saturday, happy otherwise known as Q Day or Sixth Coffee Day. Wink, wink, you know who you are. So happy to be here. So excited for tonight's show. This is so much fun doing this. Just the breadcrumbs that are coming, connecting the dots, putting together these shows. It's so much fun. It's such an honor to do this. And my thanks, obvious, of course, to BBS. Love you, BBS Radio. You're so amazing to work with. And just all the subscribers, all the listeners, Zosia and I, we love you and just so honored that you're here just sharing space with us and listening to our journey as we're all doing it together, but we're just inspired to share. So tonight's show, I have a quote to start. Excuse me. I have a inspirational quote that I want to use to start. And during the journey, I've had phases where I'm really just down rabbit holes and I just couldn't stop researching and reading books and, because it was fun. It was exciting to me. It was like a treasure hunt. And so tonight I am going to share a quote by Lao Tzu, which we all know that was the light column of Q animating that body. And I came across this and I was like, oh gosh, this is just so perfect. So it goes like this. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the student is truly ready, the teacher disappears. Well, I would say that's very true. That's very true. We have all these years that we've been listening to Q and his teachings and his knowledge and gleaning and learning and here we are. We're doing it. We're continuing to expand and evolve as we're inspired. And I just love that quote. So thank you, Q. So tonight, my inspiration for the show, there's this continual circling theme around me with the ocean and sailing. The water is something to it with me, and I'm sure many of you have similar stories. So I had a whole show typed up. Like I don't do it word for word, but I have bullet points that I put down and, you know, whatever comes to me that I'm inspired to discuss. So I had some bullet points written down about Tuesday. And then I was led to do something else. So I scrapped everything that I wrote and with more inspiration coming in. And I was excited to do it too. So what inspired me was, as I was doing some research, I came across the movie The White Squall. And The White Squall is a movie released in 1996 that was, excuse me, directed by Ridley Scott. And it's a coming-of-age adventure based on the 1961 true story of the brigantine Albatross. And Skipper Sheldon, or Jeff Bridges, which we know is Q, leads a group of teen boys on a sailing voyage to instill discipline, teamwork, and fortitude. They learn to manage a ship, face personal fears, and unite as a crew before a sudden, quote, white squall storm forces them to fight for survival. And basically, it's a bunch of high school young men, and they're seniors. In their senior year, they're on this 92-foot vessel, sailing vessel. And they're sailing 12,000, it's a 12,000 mile journey aboard the Albatross. And the voyage is designed as a year-long character building trip to teach sailing and academics. So it's just, I was led to watch this movie. I've already seen it. I saw it a couple years ago, but I was led to watch it again. And what I love about it is, it hits so many things that I've experienced in my life, as I'm sure others have as well. But it highlights just the journey of from personal dysfunction to collective strength, and it turns up, it's basically turning a school trip into a school trip into a life-defining lesson on character and fortitude, which is what it takes to do this journey, I would say. So that is what the movie The White Squall is about. I won't go into a lot of details because I don't want to spoil it if you're inspired to watch it. Well, first off, you ask yourself, well, what is a white squall? If you don't have any time spent on the water or know any of these terms, well, let me tell you. A white squall is a sudden, violent, and often unpredictable windstorm at sea, characterized by the absence of dark clouds and appearing only as a patch of white-capped broken water. It's common in tropical, subtropical waters and the Great Lakes. These dangerous, short-lived gusts often catch sailors off guard. So that is what a white squall is. So as I'm watching this movie, I'm amazed at the new breadcrumbs that are coming to me. I'm just like, wow, like thank you, Q. It's so amazing. So some of the things that the boys learn on this trip, they're taught the discipline and teamwork. And the moment that I lost it and just tears were just streaming down my face was when they're on the boat, this 92-foot brigantine, and I will tell you, this sailing vessel, it's a brigantine, and I had to look up, like, how do you pronounce that? So it's a two-masted vessel, and there's lots of sails on it. It's not like your regular sailboat. It's huge. Okay, I just lost where I was gonna what I was gonna say. Okay, so the boys learn discipline and teamwork, and where I lost it is, okay, that's where I was. Where I lost it was when they're on the boat and it's their first day on the boat. It's like housekeeping. Everyone's getting acquainted with everyone, and there's the bell on the boat, and on the bell is inscribed, "Where we go one, we go all." I just lost it because where have we heard that? Where have we, the listeners know. Thank you, Q. JFK, the Q team, JFK, G, like, thank you. The white hats, like, it's just, I just started crying because it came through me. I just was in, and my tears were just gratitude, joy, just immense love. And I didn't know how else to express it. I had to get up from my chair and walk around because it was just so intense what was coming through me. So, back to what the boys are taught on this trip. And some of the boys didn't want to go. Some of the boys went because their parents wanted them to go. And this is based on a true story, by the way. Some of the boys wanted to go. Some of the boys, their parents made them go. And character building. Right? How many times? I know my father's told me, oh, it builds character. So they learn discipline and teamwork, sailing and seamanship, responsibility and maturity, and courage and survival. A lot of what we're learning now on this journey, I would say. So what was so interesting, a breadcrumb that came to me was, I have a beautiful sister who I shared a couple show, well, probably last year. She was inspired. She reached out to me. She was inspired. She was, I believe she was out with some friends and she came across this beautiful painting of this type of vessel, basically, that's in the movie The White Squall. A two-masted ship, a brigantine, I would say, and the sails are just this, it's gorgeous. And this is the painting of the ship in the ocean, and there's some seagulls flying around. And she said, I don't know why I was led to buy it, but I knew I had to buy this painting. And I believe it sat for a little while. She just knew she needed to buy it and purchase it. And then when I shared my story about Christopher Cross and I shared the lyrics to the song Sailing, She said, "That's it. That's it." And so she shipped it to me, and I have that painting in my entryway on the table in my entryway to serve as a daily reminder to be the captain of my ship, to be the captain of my heart, the captain of my spirit, my Merkaba, my vessel. It's a daily reminder. And I thank you. You know who you are. I thank you so much. So some of my favorite lines from the movie, I'm just going to go through a couple of them that really stuck with me. And I watched this movie again with a different set of eyes. And Jeff Bridges is the skipper. His wife is on the boat, and she teaches math and science. Then there's another individual who teaches English, and then there's, you know, the crew, the cook, and I believe there's 13 boys. And oh, and by the way, when they get there that day, like, it's not some fancy yacht. Like, they have to, they're scrubbing, they're working to get it up to snuff, and to get her ready to go out to sea. And so he starts it out with this: sh "The ship beneath you is not a toy, and sailing is not a game. The albatross requires constant attention." And I said to myself, "Oh, okay, like, I'm looking at this vessel as me, like, observing, constantly having to, you know, recalibrate myself back to being in my heart and out of mind energy." And then he says, "You know what's out there? Wind, rain, and some damn big waves." It's kind of like the obstacles that we go through in life. And then he says, "A real sailor only needs the stars to navigate with." So I took that as, you know, I'm applying it to my life. It's all a metaphor or symbolism. Not relying on a guru outside of myself to find the answers to the questions that I'm seeking. Then there's a point in the movie where one of the young men, he just gets his test score back. They're, you know, they're basically having school on the ship while they're running the ship and sailing. He says, "I've been acing tests my whole life, and I still haven't figured it out." And his friend says, "Figured out what?" And he says, "Who I am." Ah, okay. All right. So I'm just getting little winks and nods the whole time. And of course, I shared about the "where we go one, we go all" on the bell, on the boat. I know the cue light column was in Jeff Bridges. I just know it. Another breadcrumb for me was connecting the dots with the movie Against All Odds with Jeff Bridges and Rachel Ward and the song Phil Collins' "Take a Look at Me Now." I just cry every time I hear that song, and I do not know why. I know now. So some other things that I picked up from this was there's a scene in the movie where one of the actors, one of the boys, the skipper didn't know it, but he had a tragedy in his family and had a trauma with heights, fear of heights, and he didn't know it. Well, that's not the most ideal situation when you're on a boat as big as this, and you have to climb the ratlins, I guess that's how you pronounce it, the ropes to get up and undo the sails. And so after he learns about this, he confronts him and he says, "You know, you got to get over this. You're gonna have to overcome this." And the boy, I'm from the South, y'all, and I'm gonna say it, bless his heart, the boy is scared. I would have been too. But he's like, "No, you got to do this." So they do it together. He says, "We'll do it together." And the whole way through it, while he's climbing, he's screaming, like, you know, just because he's terrified. But he does it, and he works through his fear. So I'm sure, you know, we've had instances like that in our lives. where you're not alone. You have someone to do it who can do it alongside of you, and sometimes not. You just have to walk right through it and do it yourself. And another interesting thing that I noticed, this movie is set in 1960 to 1961, and their voyage took place around the time of the Bay of Pigs invasion in April 1961. And there's also the film shows an encounter, a fictionalized encounter with a Cuban gunboat during the period of high tension. So, no coincidence. I mean, I just it's very interesting. And Kennedy is also giving, they're listening to Kennedy give a speech, JFK give a speech on the boat during this time. So some further breadcrumb connections that I noticed. There's this theme of the water, the ocean, sailing, and I just don't know why. I'm like, well, gosh, I don't know. And Christopher Cross, his song Sailing. And just reading the lyrics of that song. There's just so many pearls here. I'll just read a couple. It was re released in 1979. Well, it's not far down to paradise. At least it's not for me. And if the wind is right, you can sail away and find tranquility. Oh, the canvas can do miracles. Just you wait and see. Believe me. And the chorus is sailing. It takes me away to where I've always heard it could be. Just a dream and the wind to carry me. Soon I will be free. Well, it's not far back to sanity. At least it's not for me. Again, if the wind is right, you can sail away and find serenity. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? So, the Christopher Cross song, and I cry when I hear that song too, and I do not know why. So, as a little girl, I was exposed to sailing very young. My father is a sailor. He taught himself how to sail when we lived in South Carolina, and we lived at a big lake. It's huge. He taught himself how to sail, and you get a small boat, then you graduate to a bigger boat, and then a bigger boat. I can remember he said when I well I can't remember, but he told me, I remember him telling me that when you were born, I went and put a pink bow on the boat, just as a it's just sweet, just a sweet little just a sweet little just a birth announcement, if you will. And there is a picture of me when I'm about 18 months old. I was out on that boat, and he had that god-awful harness to keep it's a safety harness that I had to step into, and all these snaps and whatnot. Keep me safe. I get it. I get it. But it was connected to, I think the wheel. I think that's the helm. I think the helm is where the wheel is. A big. You've been on a sailboat. It's a big wheel. And so, I just remember that. And I remember there's a picture of my dad holding me on the boat when I was about 18 months old. I treasure that picture. It's priceless to me. He also built me a little swing in the cabin, so each time the boat would lean, I would lean with it. And I knew when that big sail that was black and red went up, the spinnaker, I knew when that sucker went up, we were going to be doing some serious leaning. We would be doing some serious leaning that day. It kind of made me a little scared. I don't know why, but anyways, he loved to sail, and so we would go out sailing on the weekends. So sailing is very much as a part of growing up, being out on boats on the water. It's just like it's like second nature to me. That's why I loved when Zosia and I went to the Bahamas last year, and we're out in that big catamaran. It was like home. Now I'm not saying it's fun when you're out there and there's storms and stuff. Now that's a different story. I think one day we were out and it was stormy, and I'm like, well, we're all in this together. So yeah, so the point is that there is a connector with sailing in the ocean. Okay. So sailing is a skill. And there's so many metaphors that relate to everyday life with sailing that I found very interesting. They almost liken it to, or have the quote of romancing the wind. Because when you're on a boat and you're in the ocean or whatever body of water, you really have to be in tune to what's going on. Yeah, you have your book work, your class time, you learn your technical stuff, but really a lot of it is intuition, experience. It's that felt sense. It's just you just know. I kind of liken the boat to, well, I won't say that, never mind, but the man really, whoever's at the helm of the boat, they have to really be, I'm used to to a man, to the man being at the helm, but women can too, obviously. But you really have to feel into it. It's a feeling. And so sailing is a skill. And well, what does that mean, Lauren? So I look at things, a lot of times I look up the meaning of things and I look at it from a spiritual sense or a spiritual meanings. And so with sailing, there's so many metaphors that relate to everyday life with sailing. You can't the wind, like, you gotta have the wind to go sailing. Well, the wind, you can't see it, but you feel it and you know it's there. It's kind of like our spirit. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You feel it. But also with the wind, sometimes you can't control it. It comes up out of nowhere. These wind gusts, there's like a white squall. You have to surrender and trust when you're out there on the water. I mean, you set the sails to receive the wind, and in combination with your experience and that feeling, and just you just watching, you're feeling into it. You're looking at the skies, and always it's you're always it's how do I put this? It is it's not like you're just setting it on autopilot or just cruising. And sailing, it's about the journey. It's not the destination. Like the goal of sailing, it's not just about speed, but navigating, and you're having to adapt to the ever-changing the winds and the waves and all this stuff. So that's, because a lot of people, they might not know about sailing. It's a lot of, it's you're not just sitting there, putting the throttle forward and just cruising. I mean, you're working. You have to really love it. So, water to me. So to me, like, water is such a great teacher. And I remember Q talking about Ocean Track. So this movie is, it reminded me of Ocean Track. I'm like, that has to be what Ocean Track, what I envisioned when Q was talking about Ocean Track, what it would be like, because, when you're out in the water, like there's so much healing that goes on when you're out in the water. Like when you go out to sea and there's no distractions, there's no, I mean, if you put the tech away and you're really given the opportunity to sit with yourself, and there's nothing distracting you, and it's so easy to not even think about the time. And you start, it really assists you in going within and asking those deeper questions, if you will. So why is the ocean a great teacher? And there's so many life lessons with the ocean, and I feel, this would touch in and tap into what Q was talking about with Ocean Track and wanting to take people out and help them to heal. Because a lot of people, how do you know? There's people that how do you heal somebody if they don't even know they're sick? I'm talking about just not being connected to who they are and being in mind energy. So the why is the water a great teacher? It embodies so many life lessons, impermanence and change. I mean, nothing's permanent. And you have to be in the flow. You can't control anything out there. I mean, good luck. You can't control anything out when you're out on the water. To certain things you can't, the wind and just the interconnectedness and the necessity of flowing with the changes in your life. It's vast and it's endless. The water also helps quiet the mind. And like I said, when you get out on that ocean and you're far from land, it creates a space to go within. And I remember Mermaid. There was a call on PRQ where a beautiful woman called in talking about her experience going to the light ship. And she was there with Mermaid and Q. And Mermaid, she was speaking about what her feelings of what Mermaid was teaching her. And she said, it's easier the further out you go swimming, in the ocean. It's easier the further out you go. And I said to myself, well, why is that? Well, because you have to let go. You just have to let go. You can't, run back on land really quick. When you're out there, you're out there. And you have to let go and surrender. And I also remember when Q spoke about talking about the mind and getting out on the water, and you're away from all these reactionary timelines that a lot of us experience in this frequency here. But when you remove all of that, it's completely different. Like, it's just a very different space. So I remember Q speaking of the dolphins. They know everything that's going on with the ships that are coming in and out. But yet they're still able to maintain their state of being in the now. So I just find that fascinating. And that's what, I'm currently working on doing for myself, is learning how to do that. It takes practice. And again, I mentioned, letting go and surrendering. The waves are constantly crashing, they're changing shape, they're changing direction. And it's just a metaphor for, surrendering to your spirit. Your spirit knows. I might not know in this, or might not know right now, or I think I might know, but ultimately surrendering to a higher power. It also teaches resilience and adaptability. Like Bruce Lee in the For the People article that was posted, I think it was titled The Mirror. He said, be like the water. And I'm paraphrasing here, but if you want to look at that, the article, it's on forthepeople.space. It's pretty recent, so it should be at the very bottom. It's one of their recent articles. Being like the water, being, formless, shapeless, you pour water in a cup, it's a cup. So it takes practice, though. It's all about being in the flow, as well as not reacting, takes practice. And instead of trying to change something by controlling outcomes and accepting the what is and being in the flow. I'm still working on that. So we all have our own versions of white squalls in our lives, and learning how to navigate them from a new perspective with the knowledge that we've gleaned over the past several years with Q and what he's taught us. So there was also a couple of points in the movie where they highlighted a couple of the boys and their own personal struggles that they dealt with. I mentioned the boy who was afraid of heights, and he had to face his fear. Then there was another gentleman who had issues with his father, and his internal struggles, and how he acted out one night and was making a scene, and he was screaming for help. So that's another instance. And then there was another boy who he couldn't read the slide rule. He was caught cheating by his friends, and he couldn't read a slide rule. And they offered to help him and teach him. And then the next test, he aced it. So my point is that we all have our own limitations to overcome, including, I'm raising my hand, myself, including myself. So something else. So just watching this movie, and I'm putting the pieces together and having my own little trail here of breadcrumbs. I said, well, what is redemption? I remember Q talking about in one of his shows, look up the term redemption. What is redemption? Because we all know, well, most of us listening, we all have heard about the RV, that being the redemption. And I'm not saying that it's not true, but that's really not the true redemption. It is a bridge, I feel, from us, as a society, just being taught years and years just of scarcity, lack. So it's a tool. I feel it's a tool. But really, we are abundant. It really have to help us to get to an abundance heart set, if you will. So it led me to look up the redemption in the spiritual sense. What is redemption? And I, before I read what I wrote down about redemption, I wanted to, let's see here, where did I put it? I have a song by Phil Collins. It was released in 1985 under copyright under Virgin Records. The song was written and produced by Phil Collins. And I feel this segues into redemption pretty good, at least for me. So it goes like this. Take that look of worry. I'm an ordinary man. They don't tell me nothing, so I find out all I can. There's a fire that's been burning right outside my door. I can't see, but I feel it, and it helps to keep me warm. So I don't mind. Seems so long I've been waiting, still don't know what for. There's no point escaping. I don't worry anymore. I can't come out to find you. I don't like to go outside. They can turn off my feelings like they're turning off the light. But I don't mind. No, I don't mind. So take me home, 'cause I don't remember. Take me home, 'cause I don't remember. Take me home. Oh Lord, 'cause I've been a prisoner all my life, and I can say to you, take that look of worry. Mine's an ordinary life, working when it's daylight and sleeping when it's night. I've got no far horizons. I don't wish upon a star. They don't think that I listen. Oh, but I know who they are. And I don't mind. So take me home. And I've always loved that song. Where's home? Home is returning back to your spirit, to source, to who you are, to who you truly are. So this goes into redemption. So I have here redemption, recalibration, and refining. So the lie here, the trick, if you will, is that, we the dogma, the programs, the mind controlling, that fractures the spirit. We've been taught backwards here to control outcomes, trying to make things happen, oftentimes due to reactionary timelines or lack or fear. Your job title, your credentials, your net worth is not truly who you are. You take all of that away, and what do you have? Most people don't know how to sit still. They don't know, and I'm working on it. I got my hand raised. I'm working on it. This is what I've been doing since I left corporate America. It's a process. It is a journey. And each time you feel like you've mastered something, the spiral continues and something else pops up. So I'll say that, just to have compassion, just to have compassion with yourself on this journey. Everything I say to you, I say to myself. On the same call that I believe her name was Sheila, she called in on the PRQ call when she was at the lightship with Mermaid. She said, "Have compassion for life. Have compassion for your life." And I was actually on hold waiting to speak. I had called in on that show. And I know Q knew it because I had a tear just coming down my face. I was like, I needed to hear that. I'm so hard on myself. I am just my own worst critic. I'm so hard on myself. I don't know where it comes from, but I'm aware of it and I'm working on it. So just to encourage the listeners, just to, you're right where you're right where you're supposed to be. You're not late, you're not behind. Just trust and know that you're right where you're supposed to be. And I'm notorious for trying to make things happen and try to hurry it along, and it just doesn't work like that. It just doesn't. I learned the hard way. It's all good though, because once I learn it that way, I don't forget. But yeah, and just learning how to let go and trust. It is, we're trained to not, we're trained to only believe in what we see. And the unseen is, oh, well, that's just BS. Like that we're trained to just believe what you see. And I feel that's where a lot of people get hung, if you will. Like, well, if it's not there, then it must not be true. If it's not written here, if so and so didn't write about it, then it's just not true. How can all this stuff be going on in the world right now, but we're not seeing any of it? Well, everyone has the ability to have their own experience and believe whatever they want. I just know for myself, I just know it. I just know it. It's a knowing deep within. So I would say, so back to redemption. We've been separated, just being here and everything that's happened over, hundreds of years. We're separate, just become separated from ourselves. It's spiritual death, just being separate from your infinite and eternal source within you. You're an infinite eternal being. You're an amazing creator. You're limitless. We've been stifled here with many things, but we're outgrowing them. We're outgrowing the governors, the restrictions. So, what does it mean to be redeemed? And I would say redemption is reconnecting with your source. You're re-entering the Garden of Eden, the promised land. You're becoming one with your source, yourself, your spirit, and you're living from your heart. And then you live from your heart, you're inspired and you're living from your heart. And then your brain, you can, your brain's not bad. It's just you use the brain to build what you want to create. And then you're harmonizing with your spirit. I mean, that's what it means to be redeemed in my perspective. And to know that your highest currency is your spirit, it's your life force energy. It's your creative force. The dark cannot create, and they only can create through using you. And they do it in many ways. And people they don't know it. They have no idea. But we're waking up. We're learning. We're learning. So when you know that your highest currency is you, is your spirit, it really changes everything. And when you join with your spirit from that place, it's a game changer. And, sitting in stillness, I will say it's a process. I mean, it is a process just being able to, wherever the thought's coming from, if it's my thought, if it's someone else's thought, at this point, okay, it's a thought that I don't like. It's not the truth. Right. And you can have good and bad thoughts. Your body is just a recording system that's recording everything. Your subconscious mind is just going round and round, and it's the past. Excuse me. So, the truth is that you're omnipotent, you're all powerful, you're limitless, you're omnipresent. You're everywhere all at once, and your spirit decides based on its inspiration and what it wants to do. And you are omniscient. You're all knowing. I remember in the Bible it says, Jesus says, for he will do greater things than I. So Q is just a reminder of who we are. He's just reminding us who we are. So to redeem the knowingness of who you are, and as we increase our light and our life force energy, it's coming back to us. It already is. I mean, I've spoken to many people, and just what they shared with me, it already is. It's coming back for myself as well. And where I've really had to work on is, I know that there's more, but I feel like I'm kind of being held back. I feel like the dial, like I'm wanting to go faster, but they're turning the dial back a little bit, or just keeping it like, let's keep it in third gear for right now. This girl wants to go to fifth and sixth gear. Let's keep it in third gear. I'm like LFG, let's go. So redemption, okay, recalibration. What is recalibrating? It's what Q's been telling us. We're returning back to who we are, but how do we do it? Going within, learning how to maintain peace energy, be like the water. It's an individual process for everyone who chooses to do it. I bought the ticket, now I'm taking the ride. Because I want to, because I cannot stop expanding and evolving. If I try, my spirit tells me it doesn't, I just feel it. It's not good. I don't like it. So I never want to stop evolving and expanding and learning. It's exciting to me. And I'm finding that what I'm doing, is I'm refining. I'm continually refining myself. So things pop up. I had something that happened when the week of the 21st and the 22nd, when those new energies were coming in, I had a white squall. It sucked. It was not pleasant. But I have the tools in my tool belt, and I worked through it. I was able to identify what was going on, and the light is so intense right now. Whatever darkness, we all have it in us. The not the, when I mean when I say darkness, just false. It's not the truth. You could call it sin. The light is going to illuminate it, and it has to go. You have to clear out, if you're on the ascension journey, you have to clear out your vessel. It cannot stay there. So whatever process, everyone has their own. You got to clear it. So that was very uncomfortable for me. It wasn't pleasant. But my spirit told me what I needed to do, and I did it. And just what I've been experiencing, it has to be done. If I want to continue, and I'm not stopping, I'm not going back. You can't go back. Once you've seen, like, you just can't go back. So with the refining, I'm constantly evolving, constantly expanding, purifying myself, clearing and cleansing my vessel, removing densities. If something pops up, okay, here we go. We're back at this one again. And really digging down deep as to, how can I clear this? And where I'm at right now, basically each time I get on the radio, I'm sharing where I'm at, just to encourage others. If you're just joining this, just joining the show, or you're new to all of this, it can seem overwhelming. I've had years to do this work, and just from, coming out of the religious de the deconstruction of religion, like that was a big one for me, because I I grew up going to the Baptist church and just getting to a point of, this is just not working for me anymore. This just doesn't do it for me anymore. I just want more depth. Something's missing here. So if you're just joining, n perfect. You're not late. You're right on time. And people are waking up every day with all this, everything that's going on in the world, and really what's going on in the world. And people don't know this. They're not getting it yet, but they will, and then Trump did a tweet about this. Q Trump did a tweet about this, about basically the external world is a reflection of the internal world. So, just, but that's a whole nother topic. That's a whole nother conversation. But yeah, just I'm constantly doing the work, learning how to sit in stillness, because when you sit in stillness, you learn who you are and who you're not, the thoughts that come, and then dropping from your head to your heart. So that is where I am at. So I'm learning how to do this in private, but then how do I do this while maintaining it and being out in the public? I interacting, because it can be, people are a mirror. People can be a mirror to you. And how do I navigate that? So, and as you raise your frequency, you're not gonna you're as you raise your frequency, bring in more of your life force energy, your reality changes, the fabric of your creation changes. So people might leave your life, or because they're just not, at the same frequency as you are, and it's no good or bad. There's no judgment. Everyone's on their own journey and what their spirit wants to experience. So it's perfect, really, when that does happen. So that's where I'm at, and I am going to finish it off. BBS, I might finish a few minutes early, but I will say, interesting, at the end of the White Squall movie, there's a song by Sting, and it is Valparaiso is the name of it. It's from the 1996 album Mercury Falling, and it's just, the song is a metaphor of a treacherous sea journey to represent life's challenges, longing, and the journey toward a peaceful romantic haven. It explores themes of nostalgia, regret, and the desire to escape the mundane, often referencing a sailor's hope for safe harbor. So, if you're inspired, check out the movie White Squall and see if anything comes up for you. There is one scene where I had to close my eyes, but very impactful movie. So I was inspired. I love this poem of one of my favorite poems, and I said to myself, "Well, why are you going to read it?" I mean, well, because I want to. That's why. I'm going to read it because I'm inspired to. And the poem is called If by Rudyard Kipling. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. If you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much. If you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And which is more, you'll be a man, my son. I love that poem. It just runs right through me. I do not know why. It just does. And I was inspired to read it. So BBS is going to end a couple minutes early. And stay tuned because Ra Ra, my beautiful sister Zosha Ra Ra, is going to be joining us to share more of her beautiful story. And yeah, I've just enjoyed this hour and BBS. Oh, and also, if you're new, you can check us out bbs.com/unstoppable love. And all of our archives are there at the bottom. And also check out for the, and you can also go to bbsradio.com as well. Thank you, BBS. And use the right hand side, the right hand drop down menu and scroll down. And you'll see Unstoppable Love. On our page, we also have all the hyperlinks of all the original PRQ shows. If you want to check those out, I listen to shows all the time, and Q was talking to us from a multi-frequency level, so it might not make sense what the answer he was giving if you called in with a question or what he was saying then, but if you go back and listen now, you're going to get, oh, that's what he was talking about. Okay. So, and also for the people.space, check them out. Great information on what we're seeing in the world right now. And I just encourage everyone to focus on what they want, focus on what they want to create. We don't want to go down into darker, lower frequency timelines. I get it, what's on the news right now and everything that's going on. But we don't want to give more of that. We don't want to give more of that energy. So, okay, everyone, my beautiful sister, Rara Zosha, is going to be on here in a few minutes. Stay tuned. And that's a wrap, BBS.